You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci with you from Radio Row, Super Bowl 48 here in New York. Nathan Zagura back in Northeast Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we are pleased to be joined right now. Again, guests come fast and furious on the show. That's how it works when you're camped out here on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. But Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com and NFL Network joins us now. He is a former scout in the league and basically plays the role of official scout for the .com and the network for the league. Brings a lot of knowledge, spent 8 years as an NFL scout, including 2 with the Browns, also 4 with the Baltimore Ravens and 2 with the Eagles. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vic. I appreciate you having me, man.
Well, let's start with this because we want to hear your takes, obviously, on the quarterbacks and on this draft and all that is important to Browns fans to know about the talent, the collegiate talent coming out. But before we go there, you spent 8 seasons with the Ravens. You got to know a guy named Mike Pettine pretty well while he was working with the Ravens. So give us some impressions on, A, the guy that you got to know there and what you see of him and the potential you see in him as being a head coach in the NFL.
Well, first of all, Mike's just – he's very smart. He's a very smart guy. And, you know, he was kind of – you never saw Rex without Mike. You never saw Mike without Rex for the time I was there. So they put things together. He's just a very creative guy when it comes to X's and O's. But more than that, just personally, I thought everybody, all the players really liked playing with him or for him. His position group at that point in time, he was working with the linebackers. They just really liked him and respected him. A lot of times you have coaches that people like and you have coaches that people respect. It's harder to find the guys that they both like and respect.
Right.
So I think I could say that about Mike. Another thing I'll say is he's got a really nice mid-range game because we used to play basketball together all the time.
Sweet 17-footer?
Yeah, he's got a nice little fadeaway. He's not afraid to go up and under on you either.
So, Daniel, as we shift talk to the draft, obviously the Browns have been in search of this quarterback seemingly forever. Sitting at number 4, there's a good chance they're going to get a quarterback. The 3 names that have been thrown out the most, Blake Bortles, John Football, Teddy Bridgewater. Give quickly your thoughts on those 3 and how you rank them right now heading into the combine.
Yeah, the order that I have them, I have Johnny Manziel would be number 1 for me. To me, just – everybody, you know, everybody pays attention to the special plays he makes outside the pocket. He's the most creative playmaking quarterback that I've ever evaluated. So that I think people are aware of. But the other thing is I've seen him make plenty of plays inside the pocket, inside, you know, a lot of muddy area. A lot of times when you're evaluating a quarterback, to me, I like to evaluate how they are when things get muddy around them, when things aren't clean. Because in the NFL, you're not going to have clean pockets to throw from consistently. And I saw him stand in there, hang in there. In tough situations inside the pocket, deliver the ball accurately to all 3 levels. He's got a very unique way of doing business because, you know, you'll ding him on his footwork, doesn't always get his feet in the ground. His arm angle, he'll throw from 100 different arm angles. But when you watch him in warm-ups, which I've done the last 2 bowl games he's played in, he practices throwing off those different platforms, throwing from those different arm angles, and that's why he's so accurate doing it. So it doesn't necessarily look – it doesn't look right at times, but he can do it. And to me, that puts him at the very top. Bridgewater, for me, would be my 2nd quarterback. The stuff that's been talked about is legit in terms of the concern about his frame, his durability long-term, just because he's not a real broad guy. He's kind of a narrowly built guy. So that's a concern with him. Doesn't have a huge arm. Doesn't have any outstanding characteristic. He's just solid across the board. He's got good enough arm strength. He's very accurate. He's another guy who's very tough. He'll sit in there versus pressure. He won't flinch. He can deliver the ball accurately. He just doesn't have any, you know, special wow characteristics. Just a very solid player. And to me, there's a good gap after those 2 before you get to Blake Bortles. I think Bortles is very raw. It's a lot of bubble screens in that offense. A lot of stuff not necessarily going to translate to the next level. And his deep ball accuracy, something needs to improve on, footwork he needs to improve on. I think he's somebody that would benefit from sitting for a year. And unfortunately, the way it is now in the NFL, nobody does that.
So looking at that order, and you said something very significant there about the gap between Bridgewater and Bortles, from the Browns standpoint, sitting there at number 4, it creates kind of a little bit of a nerve-wracking scenario because this is the team that wants to get its quarterback position right, and you're saying that the best guy that you could get is John Football. So if Houston sticks with the plan of drafting a quarterback, and a lot of people feel that they're going to do that, that's what I've been hearing just this week especially, Where does that leave the Browns? How do you see this playing out for them? And knowing what you know of Mike Pettine and what his abilities would be as a head coach, where, you know, I know he's not going to be the offensive coordinator, but he is going to have a lot of say as to what they do with a rookie quarterback.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, you think, okay, whoever their top guy is, we're going to find out how much they like him depending on whether or not they pick up the phone. Because if they fall in love with the quarterback in this draft, no matter who it is, I would expect with all the draft pick ammunition that the Browns have that they would at least try and make a phone call to eliminate any concern or any doubt that they're going to get their guy and at least have a conversation with Houston about going up there. So that stuff has a way of always getting out. I know they try and keep it between the teams, but it always finds its way out. So as soon as we hear, if we hear something that the Browns have talked to Houston about going up there, I think you'll pretty well know that they got a guy they're in love with.
Daniel, if the Browns aren't going to get a quarterback at number four, either three teams take quarterbacks ahead of them, or they decide that they don't like, let's say they like Bortles and Manziel and Bridgewater's there and they don't love Bridgewater, who are some of the quarterbacks that you would look at either later in the first or even in the later rounds of the draft that have caught your eye that you think can develop? That's one question. And then the other one I just want to throw in there real quick because I'm obsessed with Brandon Cooks from Oregon State. I just want to get your take on him.
So you like really, really fast guys that catch the football and score touchdowns?
I do.
Yeah, no, he's
weird
a,
guys. Yeah.
He's a stud. He's a stud. The thing that's going to hurt him a little bit is just how deep the receiver group is. I mean, I have 10 underclass or 9 underclassmen, 10 overall in my top 50. I mean, so this receiver group is loaded, and you can find any kind of guy you want. But in terms of other quarterbacks, answer the first question. To me, a guy that kind of makes sense in Cleveland, in that division, in that stadium, in the cold weather later in the year. A guy like Zach Mettenberger from LSU coming off of an ACL might cause him to slide a little bit, but I don't think he'll get out of the second round. He's just too big, strong. It has kind of that pro size that you're looking for. And I know having scouted both in Baltimore and in Cleveland, scouting for that division, you wanted guys that were both durable to play because you got divisions in that. The defenses in that division that's a black and blue group now. You're going to get beat up. So you got to have a guy that can withstand the punishment, number one. And number two, is he strong enough to be able to cut through the wind that you're going to need to do when you get in those outdoor stadiums later in the year. So we always put an emphasis on that. Obviously, Baltimore ended up getting Flacco. You've got Roethlisberger, who's a giant in Pittsburgh. Andy Dalton's been a little bit of the exception there in Cincinnati. But, I think Zach Mettenberg would make some sense there.
Well, that being said about the division, you have Johnny Football as your number one quarterback. Would that still be true if you knew he was going to be getting drafted by the Browns in that division?
Look, if I'm Johnny Manziel's agent, ideally I'd rather have him go to a place like Houston where he's playing 9 games indoors every year, 8 at home and 1 at Indy, and playing in that environment. I think that's perfect for him. But if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I think you make that exception and say, okay, this is a special, exceptional player. And so at that point in time, yeah, we'd rather have some more size. I think he's got enough arm strength to be able to play in that. He's got plenty of arm strength to play in Cleveland. But I think you sacrifice some of that size just because of all the other stuff Manziel brings to the table.
We're visiting with Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com and NFL Network. He is a former scout in the National Football League, including a stint within his 8 years in the league, too, with the Cleveland Browns. Your thoughts on Derek Carr? Had a really good Senior Bowl. Did that do anything for him? And can you see the potential for his stock climbing to maybe that other guy who you look at in the second round or late first?
Yeah, to me, he had a great week down there. He was clearly the top quarterback down there in Mobile. To me, I still view him more as a second round guy. I think that he's behind those first three that we talked about. But look, trying to predict where these quarterbacks are going to go in the draft. Once we had the year where Ponder and Gabbert and Locker all went in the top 15, then any of us that say this guy, there's no way this guy goes, you don't know. Nobody knows. So where he goes, that's guesswork. To me, sure. I think value-wise, he's more of a second-round type player. But would it shock me if somebody did it earlier than that? No, not in the least.
As you look at the Browns' needs, obviously running back is one of them. This seems to be a draft loaded with a lot of talent that could go in the early middle rounds, you know, second to fourth. Who are some of the guys that really stand out to you as being good backs this season?
Well, you know, everybody says now we can't take a running back in the first round. It's a law that we can't do that.
It's a law, yes.
It's been passed. But I'll tell you what, after watching Hyde from Ohio State and I'm sitting there picking in the 20s and you need a running back, I might break that law. I think he's that good. Absolutely, if he was there in the second round, I think it's a steal. Jeremy Hill, I got to do more work on him from LSU. He's got a lot of baggage to come with him. You got to sort through that stuff. But from what I've seen, he's definitely worthy of being in that second round mix. And then there's a whole bunch of guys that are in that 205-pound class, a guy that are going to be 10, 12 carry guys. They're going to be share players. You got Kadeem Carey from Arizona, who's interesting. There's a bunch of them. There's a whole host of guys that fall into that mix.
How about inside linebackers, another position of need for this Browns team, especially guys who can cover? Who are you liking in that area?
Well, you look at Mosley from Alabama is the top inside linebacker who can do everything. He can run, blitz, cover, sideline to sideline, all that stuff. Leadership, he checks every box. And you got Shazier, who a lot of people say, well, is he an outside player, is an inside player? To me, if you're a 3-4 team, if you wanted to play him inside, I think you just look at Darrell Washington and how he's been used in Arizona as another 220-something pound guy that can fly and is a playmaker. You're going to have to cover him up, though, with a thumper next to him. You got to have a take-on guy. And if Coach Pettine is going to take what we had in Baltimore scheme-wise, that's what we had. We had what we call a jack linebacker, which was your take-on linebacker. And then we had our Mike, our inside, which was a floater. So we had Bart Scott, whose job was to pound guards and to keep Ray Lewis clean so he could scrape sideline to sideline. So to me, Shazier would put in that Ray Lewis position where you just let him run sideline to sideline. I don't think you want him to be in there banging on guards all day long.
As you look at the Browns, when you go through and do your mock drafts, which I know you do at NFL.com, what do you think are the most pressing needs for this team? And just throw quarterback out because we all know that's at the top.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, when you watch him play this year, I think the right side of the offensive line, you could use some retooling over there. Yep. I think that's important. Look, you love what you got from Josh Gordon, and little to me is still that's shaky. I don't feel all that confident there. So if you can get another guy to pair up with him, if they left this draft with the three offensive positions taken care of, actually I should say four. If you can come out here with a quarterback, a receiver, a running back, and a right tackle. I know Schwartz is there. I was never really sold on him, so that's my personal deal there. But through free agency and the draft, I think those four things, if they can handle those four things, I think you'll see this offense take off because there is a lot of talent spread around in other areas.
And, to just follow up on that, 10 draft picks overall that they have, those two in the first round, I mean, is that enough as you anticipate the kind of wheeling and dealing that could happen when you're owning that 26th pick as well as the fourth overall pick? What does that really give you in real terms, or is the fact that the move-ups are generally for quarterbacks, is this the kind of draft where will it be more challenging to package things up to move up or not?
I think you'd be able to move up in this draft. Yeah. I do. I mean, I think there's certain positions where there's so much depth. So, like, for instance, if you're a team that's, you're sitting on a receiver, if you're St. Louis, say, you love Sammy Watkins and you'd love to take him, maybe you would take him with the second pick, but you say, okay, we've got Mike Evans, we've got Kelvin Benjamin, we have a whole host of guys. I mean, you can go on and on and on, all these receivers. Maybe they say, okay, we'll take a little bit less just to get some extra picks here. We might miss out on Sammy Watkins, but shoot, we could come back with Marquise Lee, one of these other guys later on. So there's so much depth at some positions. Offensive tackle is another one where it's a pretty strong group, that a team that's maybe targeting that position might be a little more willing to slide back and feel like there won't be that much drop-off.
And do you anticipate the offseason, particularly with this quarterback group? I know you've set kind of where these guys stand to you as we sit here now on January 30th, but as we get into combine and as we get into on-campus workouts, do you see probably more sliding in that position, up and down in that position than any other?
I think, look, after the maybe the first three or so, those three juniors that we've talked about, I think that order is what's going to change. And that's, I mean, I'm speaking personally, and I think also around the league, everybody in a scouting staff is going to have a chance to dig in on all these other players. So now you're going to start talking about, okay, where does A.J. McCarron fit in with Mettenberger, who fits in with Garoppolo? And then where does, maybe there's a team that likes Aaron Murray who's coming off of a knee. You got to throw him in there in the mix. We've got Derek Carr we talked about. I think that those five or six guys, I think you're going to see that order kind of ebb and flow as they interview. Most importantly, how teams get comfortable with how smart these guys are, how much they love the game, how they fit into the culture of their individual teams. I think that's going to be a big part of it. And then just getting a chance to see these guys throw in person. A lot of the decision makers don't get out as much in the fall. So. This spring, that's why these guys have a chance to move up, because they're going to get to see him throw in person for the first time.
And what's your take on Brian Hoyer, who might be the quarterback of the Browns if they decide to say, let's go Sammy Watkins at number four and address quarterback later with one of those other guys and go into camp with Hoyer as the starter?
Well, if he can prove that he can stay healthy, he can physically hold up, I think you got a really nice situation there as a bridge quarterback. I think he can give you two or three really solid years if he can stay healthy. I think he's a He's a very accurate guy. He doesn't have any wild characteristics, no big size. But if you put him with Sammy Watkins and Gordon and you find yourself a running back and you can run left behind Joe Thomas, I think that's pretty well set up. Also, you got Jordan Cameron, a Pro Bowl tight end. That's
right.
That's a pretty good situation for a quarterback like Hoyer to step into and just kind of distribute the football. He's not gonna blow anybody away with his physical skills, but he'd be driving a pretty nice car.
All right, Daniel, this was phenomenal. We could
talk
with you all day, and I hope we get to talk with you again as we get closer to the draft.
I love it. Thanks, guys. Take care.
He is Daniel Jeremiah from NFL.com and NFL Network, former NFL scout, breaking it down for us thoroughly here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We are on Radio Row. Vic Carucci with you from Radio Row for Super Bowl 48 in Manhattan. Nate Dogg Zagura back in Northeast Ohio. We've got much more coming up, a conversation with Gerard Cherry, our regular on this show. He's going to join us in a little bit, get his thoughts on all things Browns and NFL and Super Bowl. We got all that coming up for you on ESPN 850 WKNR. And I am only as young as the minute is full of it, getting pumped up on the little bright.